Kevach Hashem, we're learning the Hagdama of Rav Kook, the Shabbos Haaretz, Perush of Rav Aviner, on page 35 in the Perush. Skula Soma, we're talking about Skula and Bechira. Skula and Bechira. Let's just go back to the paragraph. Skulas Ha'uma. B'chol Uma, yes, we read a little bit. Let's just review a sentence or two and continue. B'chol Uma, yes, Skula Mishalah. Every nation has its own particular, its own unique skula, its character, kishron mesuyam, and atiyah mesuyam, a skill, a talent, a certain atiyah. Yeshuma shenichana ba'omis, there's a nation that by nature, the people of that nation, there's a certain omets, courage, gvura, and so on, to say that, or order, discipline, mashmas, discipline, b'mada, miskadim, scientifically oriented, technology, yemufutachas, develop technology, and so on. My school is my Israelis. Hatayv elokiyat tavur bekirba. This is where we're up to. The school of Yisrael is, of course, elokus. That's what we've been talking about for the past bunch of weeks. The school of Yisrael is elokus, is godliness, and the most apparent, obvious manifestation of that elokus is that tov, the goodness, the natural tov. Hatov elokiyat avur bekirba. The natural tov, that natural good that is implanted within Yisrael, the nature of Yisrael. Akedekach, that I think I might have mentioned at the end last week, that the Rambam paskins and Matnas Aniyim, the Halachas of Tzedakah, the Kol Mishu Achzari, the Rachem Yeshlochu Shliyichuso, that a person, if you see somebody who is a Jew, but he's cruel, Chas V'Chalila, so then it's a question of whether he's really Jewish. It's a question of his yichus. You don't run away with that. Just you think somebody is cruel because he sat down and you know, when you were standing, and you come to the conclusion that he's not Jewish, obviously. People have bad moments, sometimes a bad week, or even a bad year or two. But that doesn't mean that God forbid is a cruel person. So, but what the Rambam is telling us is that the yichus of Yisrael, the school of Yisrael is kindness, is toiv. Atov lukiyat tavua bekirba. Am Yisrael, so Rabbi Ner explains, those are Rabbi Cook's words, Rabbi Ner explains, Am Yisrael nichan betuv leiv. There's a natural kindness, a goodness of heart. That is the skula of the Jewish people. That is that clearest and most obvious manifestation of the elokus of a Jew. Yovo tov, and the Gemara says, Yovo tov, yikavo tov, mitov letovim. Let the good one come and receive that which is good from the one who is good, and give it to those who are good. And the Gemara explains, Yovo Tov, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is Tov. One of his names is Tuvia. Moshe Rabbeinu is Tov. Good. Yikabel Tov, to receive that which is the ultimate goodness, which is Tov. Shnemar, Kilakach Tov Nesat Lechem, Mitov, from the one who is good, Zekadosh Baruch Hu. Shnemar, Tov Hashem Lakol, Hashem is good. Latovim, and give it to those who are good, Za'am Yisrael. Atov Eloki, Gonuz B'nishmas Yisrael. This godly Toiv is hidden within the soul of the Jewish people. The Rav Kook says, Say the Ha'ilom, Achayim Ha'ishar V'atovim, Amativim El HaTzadik V'yosher. This natural Seder of the world, Achayim Ha'ishar V'atovim, consists of the straight, the upright, and good life of the Jewish people that befits and corresponds to this tzaddik and yosher of who they are. So Rav Aviner explains, Skula sa'uma Yisraelis hi ha'tov eloki. This school of the Jewish people is tov eloki. Lo'or zeh kayim seder ha'olam. Hanaveh miskula sa'uma Yisraelis. And there's the seder of the world. And the seder, the correct and healthy seder of the world is that the world is good. The world should be good, and that good should be revealed by the Jewish people. Seder olam hu ha-Torah, and the Seder of the world is the Torah, as the Maharal says, in the Siva HaTorah, And the Jewish people who are Tovim received the Torah, which is Tov, from Hashem, who is Tov, through Moshe Rabbeinu, who is Tov, in order to teach us how to live a life that is Tov. A life that is Tov, that is a good life. A life of Tzedek and Yosha. Ben Om Lamokom, Ben Lachaveu, Hasheket V'Hashalva. And in its ideal state, society should, all of the world should be able to live in this way of sheket and shalva, tranquility, quiet. Rav Avinir says, Zomatza boyeshna roga chevrati, but there's a calmness, there's a tranquility. Lo gnevis without stealing, tirdus v'atzokis, adodius, and all kinds of tzaris that people cause to each other. Rav Kook says, "Achein va'omitz ha'memorlon b'staklus alakis ma'kefes." Ideally, if we were good the way we're supposed to be, and we'd be using and living according to the Torah, which is good, and be attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's good, and be faithful to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's good, then "Achein va'omitz ha'memorlon b'staklus alakis ma'kefes chai melei chein va'omitz." Then life would be filled with chein. With charm, with grace, with beauty, va'omets and strength, lo batlonis, without any batlonis, chayim behem animus azrim begvura manas lios tovim, a life in which we would strengthen ourselves to live in the right way, in a good way, and the whole world would. Well, that's what's going to be Mashiach comes. We talk ma'abat eloki klali, through that ma'abat eloki, through that perspective of elokus, of godliness, mitach emuna, fimashi nimtzeis benishma sahuma, as it is found in the soul of the Jewish nation. B'skula soma, yeshna skula soma, v'yeshna seda arno mesnal, afim ha-shakayim, v'nishma soma. So if you have a house, and the husband is a great guy, and the wife's a wonderful woman, and they're good people, and they are committed to living in an ideal way of good, then the house is a good house. And that entire household is conducted according to that skula that these people have, that they give all the good people. So it's the same thing when it comes to Am Yisrael, and ideally the influence that we would have upon the entire world to live this way. And ein chaya chol yichom lehetzi me'akar chalpal. However, the problem is that we get caught up in chaya chol, we get caught up in regular life, in mundane life, and as a result of that. As a result of that klipa of life in this world and all that's involved in living in this world, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's very hard for us to be able to bring that out. Rav Kook says, "Al ha'poel," to bring that natural kindness, that natural gentleness and tranquility, that courage, that strength, during the 6 days of the week and during the 6 years of the cycle, day-to-day life just crushes a person. And that natural tov, you have, you know, every parent knows how you feel at the end of the day when you got the kid to, you know, when they're little and you got the kid to go to bed, but there was all kinds of crazy arguments and fighting and like with some 7-year-old, you're getting into a whole Indian, and you know, you have 400 people that work under you in your firm, you know, it's like, and you're totally in control, and you're meeting like the biggest like lawyers and bankers on earth, and this like little pisher just gets you crazy, right? And then you, at the end, you feel like, what's the matter with me? And you know you're a good person. Like, what does that, like, why does he do that to me? You know, I know that I'm not a bad person, but you feel like you're bad. I'm talking very simply because it's very simple. You just feel bad. You feel like you're bad. You can tell that I'm talking from experience, right? You feel bad about it. You feel bad. Like, what happened? Like, the day started, my Maidani, you know, you wash Negovasas, Gavaldik, you love your kids, you know, hey, God, yeah, but whatever. And everything's great. And then at the end of the day, you're like this horrible tyrant, you know, and until that kid is finally sleeping and has that beautiful look on her face and everything is like, and she's with her little teddy bear and her blanket, and all of a sudden you feel like, wow, what happened to me? And that's what the 6 days do to a people, to a person. The 6 days of the week, they just, you are a good person. We are good people. But it's just the things that go on during the week. And it's not so simple at work either, with the 400 people working on you. Of course, it's not, it doesn't work like that either. So, you know. But it's just that it wears you down, it gets to you. And that's what Rav Kook is saying, that Ein chaya chol yichol mahotziyam nakar chapo, that natural school of elokus and of good and of goodness that a Jew has, that every Jew has, chai hachol, regular life, just doesn't bring it out in the best way. Just can't bring it out in the best way. So Rav Ner says, lo nitan lagalos eskulas sa'uma b'chai hachol, you really can't bring out that skula, that treasure of who we are inside. It's very hard to bring it out b'chai hachol. Mishum shem leim b'machloikos and vikuchim. It's filled with arguing. Machloikos and vikuchim. Everybody's trying to survive, to make it. B'tacharusius, which means competition. B'asagius, and trying to get, and to get more, and to get more. All the competition and drive to succeed. So Rav Kook says, Chayim Eile b'mhumasam ha-maisis at-chufa. This type of a life that's filled with this muhuma, this confusion and bewilderment. That's t'chufa, means it's constant pressure, constant confusion. So Rav Avinu says, B'chayim maisa hazman t'chuf. In practical day-to-day life, time feels always very pressured, very short. Which is the opposite of when a person is in a peaceful place, in a very tranquil place, in that zone of sheket and shalva. Daily life is filled with competition. Mimar viach yasehu, profits more. Chayim behem kol odem toveyas kaspel of Yeshua's adin. Everybody has a certain claim, feels what's coming to him, his money. And this type of a daily life that we live, mastirim heim es hahoyd haruchani shal neshama elokis. They conceal, they cover and conceal that spiritual beauty of that godly soul. Uma'akvim es hazrachas ora habahir b'ayosher, and hold back, obstruct the radiance of that pure light, and that ora habahir, that light that is bright b'ayosher and straight, l'soich hametzius achilonis hashalepes, and prevent that light from entering into the profane, or the profanity of plain life that is ruling over the 6 days of the week, and just somehow takes control of the person. So that light is not able, that natural school is not able to shine. So he explains, Kasher Chaim Heim Chaim Chilonim, when life is plain, profane, not the word Chilonim, L'nitan L'chias B'emes Osa Tov Eloki. It's just very hard to live that with that Tov Eloki active and shining and in control. It's very hard. Shekenim Chaim Shor Revochim Mischar. It's a life of commerce, of business, of profiting. Lo Chaim Shor Nedivus. It's not a life where the focus is on giving, on generosity of spirit, on kindness, on Tov. From an early time in life, in the secular world at least, people are told that the only way to succeed is being tough and being hard. Even teachers, they get that famous lecture that they'll get, you know, that the first few weeks or months that you start teaching, you come to the classroom at the beginning of the year, you have to be really tough, you have to be, I don't know if anybody ever heard that talk. You have to be very, very hard and very tough. And so even, so can you imagine Yeah, it's some girl that she's finished seminary. And she's all excited. She wants to start teaching. There aren't so many girls that are going to teaching these days, for very obvious reasons. People don't talk about it so openly, so they're not going to teaching. So you get this wonderful girl that comes out from seminary. She's a tzaddikus. She's got does everything that she heard in her seminary. She's frum and she's a davener and she's always checking her sleeves and she's like the Miss Perfection. She's gewaldig, and she goes to she's going to be teaching, kindergarten. She's going to be an assistant in the gan or something her first year, and she's all excited. And she goes just to make sure that she's ready. She goes to some machon that's going to teach her how to teach, and they tell her that when you come into class, you better be nasty and mean. this poor girl, it's so unnatural for her. She comes into class, and she's the sweetest girl in the world, and she has these little kids, and she starts talking to them like Mussolini. If a mother would see, if a father would see, they wouldn't believe it's the same girl. She herself doesn't believe it's the same girl, but that's what they taught her. That if you're going to be nice to them, they're going to take advantage of you. That's what they taught her. I know many teachers, of course, that they use that for 25, 30, 40 years, that mahalach. So there is that lesson that we're taught from an early age, whether it's openly or it's more discreet, but it just seeps into a person that if you want to succeed in this world, you have to be tough. You can't be like that same good girl, that same nice person, because you're going to get run over. The whole world is going to take advantage of you, because the world is rotten, is terrible, and people are going to take advantage of you. They're going to steal from you. They're going to mistreat you, and they're going to abuse you. And because there is some truth to that mitzvah of what the world is like, even the kindest person. I mean, there are couples. It's always like the most beautiful thing when you meet those rare people that didn't buy into that. Like they just stayed on that path of tov. But most people just learn how to adjust to that roughness of life, and the problem is that natural tov becomes so covered that then even when that seminary girl gets married, sometimes she treats her husband the same way she treats the kid and gun. It just continues on, because that's how you're successful. Life is competition, Life is all a class struggle. There's all Marx and Engels and Lenin and Stalin, and all of life is this class struggle. And it's in the classroom, and it's in marriage, it's in life, and especially people who are in business all the time. I remember that when I was in high school, I was working for a Jewish guy. A friend of mine went to work in this, it was like a company during the summer, and it was somebody from our shul, the nicest guy, and he got a couple of yeshiva guys to work there, and we were working together with non-yeshiva people, as I say. From the bottom of society. Well, I befriended many of them. They were also good people, but very, very, very rough people. And the boss, I remember how shocked I was. It was the first day of work, and I'm working with this chevra and doing stuff. I mean, he gave us like better jobs. That even though they're there for 10 years, he gave us better jobs. But I remember that the boss, when he spoke to them, he was cursing. Like this, this wonderful Polish Holocaust survivor, who I respected very, very much from shul, and he was saying real bad words, really, really bad words, And I remember, I was doing stuff and looking at my friend, Shuki. We looked at each other and I said, well, he didn't talk to us that way, ever. And I didn't say anything about, and I didn't say anything to my parents. We just, we looked with each other. We were very shocked by it. And it was two or three days into work. And I was sitting with a couple of guys. We were sitting and we were eating outside. And he came over to us, the boss came over to us, and he sat down on the sidewalk with us. And he said, listen, I'm embarrassed about how I talk. That's what he said. We didn't say anything. He just said, I'm embarrassed about how I talk. He said, but I can't get those guys to work unless I talk that way. he said, it's disgusting, and please, and forgive me. I'm so embarrassed. You know, please don't tell your parents. And he said, I'm embarrassed, but I tried, you know, whatever, 25, 30 years ago, I tried. They just don't understand the language of like, niceness. Now, could you please, thank you. They're not bad people, but there's a certain mamalosh, you know, from the street. They have a mamalosh from the hood. They have a mamalosh. And when you don't talk to them in the mamalosh, it just doesn't work. And I remember feeling like this, like, this is like terrible. Maybe something went off in my head at that point that I just don't want to be in that kind of a life, you know, in business and all that, because you have to, it could take you so far out of your character, of who you are, that for this refined person, I'm saying he's a person that we looked up to in shul, and he's saying four-letter words, and it's out of character. That's exactly what Rav Kook is talking about, that the work week has a way of taking a Jew out of his character. Because what did this wonderful Polish Jew, he was trying to make a living. And he was running this company, and he had 20, 30 of these guys working there. And so somebody else told him that you have to do that too. And he tried it, and he saw that it got the guys to move a little bit. And it's terrible, but that's how life is. So Once you're out of character, it's not always easy to bring yourself back in. It's not always easy to bring yourself back in. A lot of what I think, a lot of the housewives, there's still women like that exist, that they themselves are not out there in the factory or somewhere. A lot of the housewives are suffering from their husbands that have been hardened and roughened by being in an office or in a factory, whatever they're doing, mm-hmm. for year after year, and like, it's not the guy that they married, because it's very hard not to bring the office home. It's very hard not to bring the workplace home. And even if you don't say those words, there's a certain coarseness that a person picks up. You pick up on the street, you pick up at work, you pick up on the, it's just, you pick up this, it's a coarseness, it's a certain. And you got this wife is some tzaddik, because she's the whole day, she's with the kids, and she's saying tillim or listening to some tapes or something, and then the husband comes home after the whole day of tumbling with who knows what, and then it's very hard. It should be in the same place. It's very hard, even though he's just as good as she is. Could be he's better than she is, but he's in such a world. So what Cook is saying is that it's really terrible that this. That the 6 days of the week and the 6 years of the cycle, that they cover and conceal, they obstruct that natural light of Yashus and so on. Because the Metzias Achilan is Hashalat, because there's this mundane Metzias reality that just takes control of you. It just takes control of you. Kasha, so Rav Avinair explains. Kasha, Achayim, Heim, Chayim, Chilonim, Lanitan, Lichias, Behemes, Osu, Tav, Elokim. Shkenim, Chayim, so Rav Achim, Ischayim, I've read that already. Dechifas, Hagidul, Vahishtalmus, Shel Achayim. This pushing of succeeding and perfecting more, you know, getting ahead in life, that pushes you. So Rav Avinair writes, Ketz, Sadim, Kain, next page. Ketz, Sadim, Kain, Yizgadlu, Achayim, Mibchina, Ruchanis. So how is your spiritual life supposed to grow? How are you supposed to nurture that tov, that kindness, that gentleness? How are you supposed to nurture and bring out that elokus, that's the school of who you are? How are you supposed to bring that out? Ketzed yishtalmu v'yishtachlu. How are you supposed to perfect yourself spiritually and improve yourself spiritually? Not to be under the constant pressure of, of work and so on. So Rav Kook writes, Shvicha Shetetze Elapol Aidei Nesinas Revach. In order to bring out, in order to remove the obstruction of that light, then you must have a break. There must be a Nesinas Revach, a Hafsaka. There must be a space to bring that out Elapol. To bring out that tov, that elokus, that ruchnius, to bring it out, there has to be a revach. There needs to be a space. Revach ze hushnas hashmita. And in the life of Am Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us this gift, which unfortunately, while we're in Golus, and we don't feel it as profoundly, and even in Eretz Yisrael, it's not felt as it used to be, but it will be when Mashiach comes in Mitzvah Hashem. Amen. Hashem gave us this. That doesn't mean that we're all going to be farmers then, but the aura of Shemitah and Pnimis is going to rule over everything, and it's not going to be just, you know, relaxing on the farm, but in everything, in every way, it's going to be with all work. We're going to see that. And of course, even now with Shemitah's Ksof, when it comes to loans and debts and so on, this is the tachlis of Shemitah. That Hashem gave us such a gift: Shabbos during the week, or every week, and then Shemitah, and ultimately Yovel, which we're going to talk a lot about also. Shemitah, Shabbos, Shemitah, and Yovel, Yom Tov also, but of course, Shabbos is that fixture in our lives. And what's the tachlis? So Rav Kook says, Shall have soka ve'esna'arus. Shall have soka ve'esna'arus. It's a time of, there's this pause, there's this break. Have soka ve'esna'arus. Ve'esna'arus translates esna'arus as an arousal from, let me see what it says over here.
Like shaking off?
Shaking off, yeah. I thought I was going to say something fancier than that. I could also say shake off. All right. Because shake off. It's not a remi of hakumi. To shake off. Oh, he said. To shake off that mohumas achayim haragila. To shake off that that mundane, that the confusion and the rush of mundane life. So Rav Avinu says, Yesh la'atzor es merus ha'chayim. There have to be times where we stop this running. Es merus ha'chayim. U'la'hafsik es nesiyas ha'galgalim ha'shchukim. And to stop the spinning of the worn out wheels of life. The wheels of life, they're just like worn down. And to pause from this competition and this union of profit and making more and besider erlis raya, and Rav Kook sider mazbe maran harav as ercha shel hafsak. Rav Kook speaks about the value of this hafsaka, this hafsak biyachas lebechas shehechiyon. Here Rav Kook is talking about the din of saying Shechiyonu when there was a friend that you didn't see, somebody that you care for, who you didn't see for 30 days, and to say the brach of Shechiyonu. So that's what Rav Kook is talking about over there. Why can't you say every day when you come to shul you see your friend, or you come to work and you see your friend? Why can't you say Shechiyonu every day? Because when you see your friend every day, you don't appreciate as much that meeting him again the next morning. When you see him all the time, it's not with that same freshness and excitement. Literally means, you know, when you grind something, but he's in the grind of day-to-day life, and there's a certain routine and a certain boredom. And everybody knows that 30 days in halacha is considered to be a shtikl zman, choshev, a piece of time. So after 30 days, ha'adam pit'om, I mean, that was, remember there was a time where you couldn't see anybody. Hashem, it's a wonderful thing that you could go and look and talk to somebody on the phone and see the person, even in far away. But ha'adam pit'om ma'arichas chaveiro v'samech levgoshbo. You're happy, so there's that time that passed that takes away something of the grind of day-to-day routine in life, and some time has passed, so you're able to feel again, and to be able to wholeheartedly say, Shechiyon. If you didn't expect to see that person. And I mentioned this in the past, it's always a funny thing, like if you're driving someplace, and you happen to see one of your kids on the street, you get so excited, right? You pull over the car, it's a whole big onion. And like, you're in the house with a kid, it's like, pass the ketchup, you know, who are you? But then if you weren't expecting to see the kid, and you're just driving somewhere, it's like it's a whole Maimon HaSinai, to see that person that you care for, that you love, and you weren't expecting, it's such a exciting thing. We're very worn down by routine and expectations. And when something is, that's why something is different. If everybody's looking for something exciting and a surprise and to see something and to go somewhere, whenever we'd be with the kids, taking them someplace, it always annoyed them because every time we would get ice cream, I always get chocolate. Even when there was a chalvi store place that like we'd be somewhere and they had like seven or eight different flavors, because you're never going to get, you know, you're not going to get like a Baskin Robbins chalvi store, but you can get still some strawberry or whatever. There are other things, and it's always like chocolate. And the kids, like, they want to do, you know, they want to try like wild berry, and I don't know what all this stuff is. Chocolate. That's what they do. And that's a generational thing also. And that's part of that's there, even though that's something that can make you crazy, but it's part of the moving towards Mashiach as well. Mm-hmm. It's a very deep thing, that Indian. And we did that to our parents too. Mm-hmm. You know, to our parents too. When I was a kid, my father would take me to this place in Brooklyn to buy shoes, because it was a guy, the guy that owned the shoe store was from his hometown. So even though we lived in Queens, we would go to Brooklyn to buy shoes, and I didn't have a choice what shoe I was going to get. I'm talking about when I was like a little bit older. I'm not saying when I was 6 years old. I'm just like, by mitzvah, you know, like that. So we go to the shoe store, and my father sees his friend. It's a nice thing. And my father says, give Moshe this kind of shoes. This, he brings out the shoe, and I try it on, and he says, it's good. And my father says, okay, give him two pairs. And that was it. The same shoe every time. No change. Every time. And two pairs, because he wears it out, and it's not, so I'll give him two pairs, the same shoe. So I was thinking, like, maybe, like, what about that one, like, it has a little bit different, like, the... Well, it wasn't my choice, it was just give him two pairs. And it wasn't even in English, the conversation. I just know I walked out, there were two boxes, it was the same shoe. And I wore the same exact shoe from the time that I was, like, I remembered being in the world. And walking, I wore the exact same shoes, every single time. Exact same shoes.
Maybe that explains a lot.
It sure does, and I'm not going there, but you can talk to my wife about it, and that's just how it is. Things are just, that's the way it goes. So I'm a little bit better, it's not better or worse, I'm different, I'm like more daring in certain ways, like a little bit more daring, but then the kids, the next generation will say, whoa, they want like all kinds of stuff, and that's a natural natia. It's a natural natia of a person. It's just a natural natia. That's how it is. So Rav Kook says that we don't make a shechiyano. 30 days is a chayfetz of time. Yeah, is it?
You probably still wear the same shoe by choice now.
Yes. How do you know that? You could probably know that. I wear the exact same shoe. I discovered because one of my friends told me this is the most comfortable shoe you can get in the world. And everybody in Borough Park in Williamsburg wears this shoe because it looks horrible, but it's so comfortable. And I, ever since I bought it, I have the exact shoe that I wear all of the years.
You buy two pairs? You buy two pairs?
I buy one pair. They're too expensive to buy two. I buy one pair. They're They're fantastic suits. I would recommend them to anybody. My wife can't stand them. And so sometimes she says, "Why can't at least in that company they have?" She saw the catalog like online. They have like a more like sleek look. I said, "No, I don't. This is the one that I bought. This is the first pair of them." And you know, there's a famous story from a Baruch Ber. You know, the hat. You know the story of the Baruch Ber? It's a Gvaldiger story. A Baruch Ber, you know, he's a big tzaddik, Baruch Ber, and the Rosh Yeshiva Kamenetz, and he wore like, you could see in the pictures, it was really like horrible, the hat, how it was like bashed in and crooked. It was terrible. Every picture you could see the hat, and the guys, like, it bothered the guys in Yeshiva, you know, that the Rosh Yeshiva's, so. One time they couldn't take any more of the guys, and they went to the Rebbetzin, and they said, why doesn't the Rashida, like, you know, get a new hat? Why can't they? So the Rebbetzin said, he doesn't want. I've tried, he doesn't want it. So they made up a plan with the Rebbetzin, that she would leave the window to the Rashida's, it was on the ground floor, leave the window open, and she told them what time, and they would come in and switch and put a new hat. They wanted to buy the Rashida hat. And they would switch, and they would put in a new hat. He was like always in learning, like nothing else in the world existed. And they would switch the hat and give him a Baruch Ber new hat. And the Rebbetzin was in on this whole thing. So the day came, and she opened the window, and she gave them a signal when the Rashi was out. And the guys went and they put a new hat in, and they took away the old hat to throw in the garbage. And they were watching from a distance to see. And Rav Baruch Ber came in, and he was learning it, but then it came time to leave, and he put his hat on. And when he put his hat on, he sat there for a minute, and he was going, he was like, felt funny, and he didn't know what was wrong, and he took the hat off, and he looked at it, and he smashed it. Something happened to his hat. He didn't know what was wrong, and so he fixed it. So there are a lot of things that like are not good anymore, but we just keep up with them, because that's how life just gets to you in that way. It would have been nice if a Baruch Ber had a nice hat. But that's how it is in life. That's nothing going to stay up. But there are significant things in life that we just go on and on and on, and it just wears you down, and you stay in that place, and you can't get out of it. So there needs to be a hafsaka. That's what Shemitah is. Shemitah is Ad Kan Hakofa. Hakafah Zayin, Hakafah Sheish, Hakafah Sheishis, Adka, Hakafah Vav. That's the end. It's Hakafah is finished. Tafsiku. Must speak. Stop. Competition. Stop the arguing. Stop the fighting. You know, when you go to Yerushalayim, which Baruch Hashem I've been going, this is the longest time I haven't been there, this last 2 years. But I've been going for so many years to Yerushalayim. And over the years, you know, when I walk into a Sfarim store, and it's the same Meicher Sfarim from 40 years ago, or 50 years ago, when he was working already with his father. But now he has himself a long white beard. And the guy that he's arguing with over the price of the Sefer is another Jew that I saw there also 40, 50 years ago, but now has a white beard. And this in the same fight. Like, you walk in there 40 years later, and they're still arguing about politics, and, you know, because everything goes, like, about everything. They're still fighting and arguing. It's just everybody has now, like, a white beard. But it's the same milchama. It's the same milchama. You feel that in Eretz Yisrael very strong, because everybody's friends, you know, everybody just talks openly and honestly. That's how it is. But you feel like everybody's in the same milchama. Everybody's in the same milchama. I went, because there's this cleaner, this dry cleaner that we're in New York. I just oh, so I go to this guy. So one year we stayed someplace else, and so I didn't go to this guy. Now, how often do I see this guy? How often am I? I'm there for 3-4 days, twice a year, once a year. I'm not. I take a shirt or two over. Right? What am I doing with him all together? So 1 year I didn't go. And then the next year, 2 years later, I was back in the neighborhood, and I went to him to bring, and he goes to me, "Hey, Weinberg, I go, what?" He goes, "Weinberger, I need that, Weinberger." Because he writes on my shirt. This guy has a photographic memory with names. He's with everybody's stuff. And he says, how come? Well, you went someplace else. Where'd you go? He said, you went. I don't know. He said, you went to Stearns. The other guy. I said, I was in a different neighborhood. He said, you were in a different neighborhood. He looks at me like, you went to Stearns, didn't you? I was in a different place. I wasn't here. He says, don't tell me that. You don't lie to me. I know you went to the other guy. And I just want to bring my shirt in. I'm getting like this whole evening with this guy. But it's beautiful, isn't it? It's so beautiful. It's only nice to sell you. And of course, at the end of the whole thing, he's upset with me. He says, Ech mishpacha, kolam b'seder. And then Shabbat shalom. Everybody's happy. We're best friends again. It's a unique experience that's. I don't think could be anywhere else in the world such a thing. But this is the shchikat ha'chayim, that day to day life. That you're in the same fight, in the same machlokes, in the same Indian, you go to the same store, you're going there, you know, it's like. And Shemitah, the Baruch Shem gave us this gift of Shabbos and of Shemitah. So Rav Kook is explaining, and Rav Avinair is explaining, however, after a break of 30 days, it's like seeing him. You're excited to see him. Ha'afsaka b'kesher, when there's a break in that kesher, ma'amika is a kesher machaver. It deepens, Rav Kook explains over there in the Siddur, that it renews and it deepens that kesher with the friend that you haven't seen for a while. So now there's much less of that because of Zoom and FaceTime and all these things for people that use all that stuff. So you know, you're seeing the person all the time, so it takes away something from that. Freshness and that excitement. When I was a boch and I was in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, I only spoke to my parents maybe a few times during the year. When it wasn't poshut with the, you know, the simonim and by the main post office in Rehov Yafo, and it's a whole Indian there just to be able to speak and then the yelling on the phone and okay before you, that was it. Once or twice a year you spoke to your parents. You spoke to your parents. Now it's every, that same sweet girl from seminaries with her mother on the FaceTime 3-4 times a day, which is wonderful. It's a huge brach, of course. But it's also has, everything comes with a certain price, and there's a price to that as well. It's just even that excitement of being able to, a simple excitement of being able to see somebody you haven't seen in a while is missing a lot in our lives. But, okay, it's still... It's a bracha to be able to do that, but it's a part of life that, or do you, some might remember, the older chevra remember the excitement of like getting a letter. You know, when they call out your name, we mean yeshiva, and they call out your name, and you got a letter. One of those blue aerograms, you remember? My mother always wrote on the part with the paste, and you try to pull it off, and then the words were erased because it was sticking and. Well, she wrote some emotional things on the outside of the aerogram, and all my friends made fun of me for the rest of my life. So there's something to that, you know, that's missing. A letter. What's a letter? A letter. I mean, being out of touch with a person for weeks or months. Hashem Yisbarach made us in such a way where unless we have these hafsakot, these hafsakis, we're going to lose that. We're just going to lose that connection to that school. So now people try to do that with vacations. Vacation is not the same thing. Without going into it right now, obviously it's so different. And all the halachas of Shemitah and the halachas of Shabbos, which we're talking now about in the Lamtes Halachas Chabur, about how Shabbos works and how it takes us away from the world. Which a vacation doesn't do. A vacation oftentimes just gets you deeper into the world in a different way. It just deepens your connection to the world. It could be quieter, although a lot of people come back from vacations, they look like they're very, very, they're very busy or something. I don't know. But a vacation is not Shemitah. And a vacation is not Shabbos. Shabbos is an Isra of the Lam Tes Malachas, and that's something different. Shemitah, all the halachas of Shemitah, it's something different. Without all of those halachas, the Reis and the Rabbanan, you can't come to that place. It's not a matter of, you know, going to Hawaii or something. It's nice, he's sitting under a tree. Of course, that's also a very important thing. Very important to have that. But it's not the same thing as Shemitah Shabbos, to get to that place of Elokus and of Tov. Could be you spend your entire vacation just indulging in Gashmias. Well, what's the vacation? You're just indulging in more Gashmias. That you don't have time for all that Gashmias during the year. So now you take 2 weeks off to have more Gashmias than you have during the year. That's not a half soccer that enables you to connect to the Ruchnias of who you are. It's just you're more Magushim on your vacation. Okay, it's not the noise maybe as much. Maybe it's not the same competition, although it could be depending on where you're going. But the Gashmias, to be Magushim, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're now off from the Gashmias. It could be you're becoming more of a Magushim on your vacation than you were during the year. So Gam B'Sidrei HaHalacha Ben Ish LeIshto, and of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that in every marriage, that when you have a marriage, that there's a Shemitah, there's a Shabbos. Hashem is both made in such a way. It also revolves around the Shiv and the Kiyum and so on. It's also a Shabbos Dekinyan. When the husband and wife are forbidden to each other, HaKadosh Baruch Hu enacted in Halacha this requirement that there be a hafsaka between a husband and wife, that there be a time that the husband and wife are separated. Hashem Yisbach wanted that to be because he loves us, not because he doesn't love us. And also all of Hilchas Avelus and how Avelus works, also with cycles of seven, just like the Chasna, the Sheva Brochas, and the seven and the Shiva Nikim when it comes to Hilchas Nida, and when it comes to the 7 days of Shiva, and so on, everything in that cycle of the days of the week and seven and so on, and how to preserve a connection and a freshness and chiyus. Everything is built in that way. Everything is Hashem is what made everything that it should be in such a way. Between a husband and wife, yesh eis l'chavik v'eis l'chavik l'chavik, like it says in Kabbalah, there's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. But it's not that Hashem wants us to be apart. It's because Hashem wants that the embrace should be something which is sincere and authentic and real. It shouldn't be something which is stuff. It should be something which is real. It should be a shechayonadik connection that a person has to Hashem, to a husband and wife, parents and children. You have now, the Metzias now, especially because of what happened this last 2 years with the Machla, that you have a lot more men that they're at home all the time. And some of the men are telling me, like, it's not going so great. So there's this new business where people are getting offices. That's what people are telling me. I don't know. Well, people are getting these little offices all over the place because they can't work at home. So it's a new business that people are making, opening up these offices just to get a little space for yourself because at home. But one of the things that there was a certain excitement. I felt it every day. There was a certain excitement in our home when my father would come into the house. There was a certain excitement. When daddy's home, not there he is in his slippers, like walking around all the time, you know. This when daddy comes home, there's a certain excitement. I don't know, when it comes to the husband and wife, well, see how these husbands they're around all the time. I don't think it's such a good thing. It's nice. I'm not talking about every family is different, obviously, different dynamics and chemistry. But people have been telling me that it's not necessarily going to work so great for everybody. Not during COVID, and for those who accept the reality of post-COVID, I know there are some people holding on very desperately to that. But it's not working for everybody. That lack of a shechiyanu, missing the shechiyanu of a person who you didn't see all day, there's a certain chiyus that comes with freshness that comes with that. That's a little bit of a taste of Shabbos during the week, a little bit of a taste of Shemitah. That we're in a few hours, we're going to the Makalba Shabbos. I could understand what that is, the meaning of Shabbos. The Shabbos, the coming to the house Shabbos. The world can't be masik such a thing, what that is. And now it's very much missing more than ever in our daily lives. So we need Shabbos more desperately than ever before. We need Shemitah more than ever before. We need Mashiach more than ever before, because it's Mashiach is a Yom Shkul Shabbos. We can't live like this because of how daily life just takes us away from everything. Our richug garim lekach. This distance between the husband and wife is garm lekar shlacha mekain chaviva lo avishto kabiyom chupas. The Gemara says that there should be a chavivas, there should be a freshness and a love and an excitement like the by the chuppah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that in everything in our lives. He wants us to be able to experience that with everything in our lives, because He loves us. He's not trying to keep us away from having a good time. And this is something that, of course, it's very hard when the kids are young for them to appreciate Shabbos. It's very hard. It's very, very hard. When they're young, to them it's like... But as you get older and you get more caught up in the 6 days of the week, then of course your appreciation and your love for Shabbos is infinitely deeper. And that's even in a simple level of a person just to be Shabbos. But when it comes to the ruchnis of Shabbos, you're at a personal depth, and you're trying to get to that ruchnis of what Rav Kook is talking about, and then when you get older, Shabbos is so much deeper. We have to begin when the kids are young. We have to begin to bring that feeling, that aura of Shabbos into their lives. Mm-hmm. Right, that's, we'll be talking about Shemitah and Shabbos a lot as we move forward.